listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, May 16th, 2018. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And Michael Kelly joins us as well.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. So, first of all, I want to welcome all those joining us, either live or from the archives. We appreciate you being here. But we have been taking one of the nine principles of belief each week for the last couple of months or so, and we're on the last one, number nine, tonight. So we're going to talk about that, have a discussion about that, and if you have any, those listening live, if you have any questions or points you'd like to share, you can put those in the chat room. I appreciate that. You can add those in to the mix. So let me read to you the full version of principle of belief number nine. It says, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So basically the gist of it is, the more we learn about consciousness and human existence, then the better we're going to get along, the better we're going to coexist, the better and more, well, joy, happiness we're going to get out of life. Because we're learning more. We're learning more about how we operate, how, you know, learning more about the human condition. And that's certainly connected to consciousness. And so, to kind of get us started on this topic a little bit, you know, let me ask you a couple questions. We've addressed these before, but they're fascinating questions, you know. What would humanity's reaction be if science discovered objective proof that human consciousness coherently survives death of the physical body? Obviously, the religions of the world have believed this for decades, or not decades, for millennia. But the scientific community, you know, they'd have a lot of explaining to do, or a lot of splaining to do, because they, the mainstream scientific community, are generally materialists. They don't believe in anything after death, anything like that. So, it would be an awakening for them. How about another scenario? What if we discovered absolute objective proof that aliens exist? Not only that, they've been visiting us. If we could prove that, what impact would that have on human consciousness, on the human condition? What impact would that have on the world? Well, you know, there's a lot of schools of thought of that, but what sounds reasonable to me is that, yeah, some people would go a little nuts over it because a lot of their beliefs would be threatened. And there might be some uproar and some acting out and whatnot for a week or two, and then life would go back to normal. You know, now if we were to be able to prove that objectively, that aliens exist, that they're even here visiting us and studying us, you know, religion's going to have to do some revamping. Because for a lot of religions, humanity is it. You know, it's the arrogance of humanity, and it's been that way with religion all through the millennia. But, you know, humanity is it. And, you know, the big test, if you will, is right here on Earth. You know, the big challenge from between Satan and God, you know, that Satan says he can turn everybody away from God. God says, no, you can't. And so God presumably has allowed time for Satan to prove his claim in an effort to be fair. Okay, that's why a lot of religions think we're it. We're the only life in the universe, especially the only intelligent life in the universe, which can be debated at times. So they'd have to do some rethinking of all of their religious texts or their whole religious premise, many of them. Now, that being said, the Catholic Church is doing some damage control, and a few years ago they came out and said, well, you know, there's nothing in the Bible that says why that intelligent life can't exist elsewhere in the universe. So, you know, they're seeing the writing on the wall, and they're embracing it. As far as I'm concerned, it's damage control because it's inevitable. And they may know something that we don't, too. They probably do. So, the point of this discussion is what impact would it have on the human condition, which includes consciousness. There's some other aspects of this as well. What if we were to discover objective proof that we don't, you know, that the consciousness does not survive death of the physical body? Think about that for a moment. What if we were to find objective proof that we are the only intelligent life in the universe? That's it. You know, in the vast universe, trillions of galaxies, we're it. What if we were to discover proof that aliens don't exist? What impact would that have on the human condition? Well, you can look at different ways, too. If that was the case, we could say, gee, we're all we got. We better get along. Of course, then you have to factor in human nature with that, which brings us to the next thing, you know, consciousness. If we knew this was it, you know, what impact would that have? Well, a lot of people would probably fall into the depths of futility. Well, hey, this is it, so you might as well get all you can get, and who cares who suffers? So there are different impacts of these things on consciousness. Now, that being said, I we've talked about this in previous programs before, that there's ample rational evidence that consciousness does survive death of the physical body. So what does that mean for us? How can we use that to get along and to coexist peacefully? Well, let's introduce another aspect here. You know, a few days ago I lost my cat to a couple of coyotes, and I didn't know coyotes were around here. I'd never seen them. We've been here 6 years, never ever heard anything. And out of the blue, there it is. Of course, you know, whenever that happens, that sends me to an existential place that you can't get a postcard from. And it's been real hard. It's changed me. It was traumatic because of the way it all went down. But that's not the point. The point is that, you know, it reminded me that on this planet, looking at it as a whole, all animal life, humans, whatnot, life is not very precious. You know, life is just not very precious. Now, that doesn't mean that life is not precious to some people. But think about that for a moment. You know, we got a lot of people on this planet, a lot of them, who regard life as very precious. But that's the people. You know, that's humans. And human beings are the only animal on this planet that has the capacity, really, to respect that life and regard it as highly valuable and priceless and precious. You know, the rest of animal kingdom, you know, everything eats everything else on this planet. Even humans eat everything else, you know. And it's like, whose idea was that? That doesn't make any sense. But it does tell us something about human consciousness. It tells us about consciousness on a lot of levels. You know, in my own theory on it is that all the different parts of creation, plants, animals, depending on the species, have a certain measure of consciousness, depending on what they are. Human beings being the top of that food chain, if you will, but still the top life form on this planet has biggest capacity for the most consciousness. That's why we can evolve. That's why we can build on previous learning. You know, we wouldn't be where we are if we didn't have that ability to build on previous knowledge. The animals don't do that. You know, they maybe do it to a very limited degree. And certainly animals can learn things and they get to know things. I know that. But I'm talking about in this grand capacity. And that's where we are. We have the ability to outgrow the animalistic tendencies that a lot of humanity is dealing with. I mean, with the killing, the terrorism, the absolute disregard for life among some peoples, some religions, we have the ability to outgrow that. We have the ability to evolve. And we are, slow as it may be, but we still have that. And think about this. If everybody evolved to the point where they embraced the concept of do no harm, do right, do you think we'd all coexist more peacefully? I think the answer is an obvious yes. Any thoughts by anybody? Dr. Hunter, Michael, anything to inject?
Well, you know, if there are people in the chat expressing their regrets about your cat and your loss, are on a planet where everything eats everything that's kind of nature. The birth and death and rebirth and this constant metamorphosis that we're in. Each of us has, I think, the globe itself, Earth and everything on it, has a consciousness to exist in that manner, and then varying degrees of frequencies that kind of bind it all together. At least that's my visual on it. And consciousness is relative to, I think, how we perceive it. And I think that's something that really needs to be addressed, is that everyone has a different idea of what consciousness is. They say, oh, it's how awake you are or how much you know. Or we're taking consciousness to another higher understanding about how things resonate and the awareness we're not aware of. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So there's always more in what our possibilities are. How will we evolve then? How long will that take? You know, I mean, things have been here for a long time. Will continue to be here for a long time. And how is that going to transition? So it is about us, I think, raising a particular kind of awareness that expands that consciousness field. So that's kind of my take on it. The more awake we are, the more possibilities there are. So that's what I'd like to inject.
Yeah. Anything you want to inject, Michael?
Well, you know, I think just to kind of go back to, well, there's a lot of points that you touched on, and I agree with a lot of it. It is very frustrating to live in a world where everything kind of eats everything else. It is, as Dr. Hunter said, part of the cycle and, you know, part of our existence. I think, at the very least, when we can express gratitude for the food that we eat, the animals that we kill, so we can live, so we can enjoy life and things like that. We can express gratitude and be thankful that that animal gave its life. We have to respect life, and that's the important thing. And I think that ultimately we as a people could do a lot more to respect life, but that's a place that we'll get to eventually as a society. It's only a matter of time. But it is very frustrating to live in a world where, you know, nature does take from some to give to others, in the case of animals, hunting, things like that. And when going back to a little bit what you said earlier, because it ties into life and death and the cycle of it, but the concept of what would change if we knew for a fact that there was no life after death, that's a question I thought a lot about, because I had to get to a place where honestly it wouldn't change anything for me, to where I would do exactly what I would do in this life if there's life after death or not, because it can't matter. You can't truly ever know without a shadow of a doubt. So what you have to do is the best that you can. You listen to your instincts. You try to leave the world a better place. And if there is life after death, great. And if not, that's okay too, because you made a mark while you were here. You participated in the cycle, and and the energy that was you will move on to something else. There's always a beautiful way to look at it. And we just, no matter what, we do the best we can. We make the world as good as we can. And what will happen. So.
Yep. And that's all good and well. And that's noble. And that's what we all should be doing, obviously, you know, leaving the woodpile higher than we found it, because it contributes to that evolution of the species, of humanity, and therefore peace and peaceful coexistence. And speaking of peaceful coexistence, when we, you know, again, it's all about level of awareness. You know, a lot of people try to control other people. I mean, that's just rampant on this planet. People are trying to change or control other people. You disagree with somebody and they argue and they fight because, you know, my political party's better than yours, my God's bigger than yours, you know, my opinion's better than yours. And all of that does not matter. It doesn't matter. You know what they say, opinions are like behinds. Everybody has one or more. And that's fine. What we have to be able to do is to agree to disagree, if nothing else, you know, and just, yeah, you can have your opinions. And everybody's opinions are based on their level of awareness, their beliefs, because that's what all this is. An opinion is nothing other than a belief about something. And so we're governed by our beliefs, and we can have many enabling beliefs, and we can have many disabling beliefs, but trying to get along and accept people for who they are. You want to, you know, you're gay? Okay. So what? You're not gay? Okay. So what? You're transgender? Okay. So what? You know, it's not like we have to fight this stuff. And yet so many people do that. And I will say, because religion is a big driver of this hostility, because, you know, their sacred texts and all this crap that they read and they digest and they believe. And all that is, folks, is somebody's idea about reality. You know, and a lot of people may be offended or whatever. That's fine. You don't have to be offended. It's just my belief, and that's okay. You can have a different belief. That's okay. I respect your beliefs. I respect your right to have those beliefs. All I ever say is, you know, believe what you want. Just do no harm. Do right. You know, we don't have to impose our beliefs on other people. We don't have to knock on the door and try to convert people. You know, been there, done that. Didn't work, honestly. And we can just try the best we can to grow and evolve and increase our level of awareness, to understand that everybody has their challenges. Everybody's fighting something. Everybody has their list of insecurities, or, you know, their self-doubts, lack of confidence. They're fighting their own demons. Everybody is, and to one extent or another. And the beautiful thing is that the greater awareness you build, and the more you evolve, and the more you grow spiritually, the shorter that list becomes, the less it even affects you. So continue to strive to be better tomorrow than you were yesterday. We're perfect just the way we are, and we are where we are perfectly because of the choices and decisions we've made in the past. It's got us to right where we're at. You know, the fact you're listening to this was a choice on your part, and has gotten you to this point. So we can do this as a species. We can grow. We can evolve. We can get past the barbarism, it's not even a word, the barbaric, savage behavior that's so rampant in some places on this planet, and certainly among the animal kingdom. That's just what they do. And it's hard to take. It's just hard. But we don't have to be part of that. And the more young people we can get to rethink all the crap they were spoon-fed as kids, especially regarding religion, they can begin to open up and to accept other people that are different than them. The one thing that just blows my mind, and it's really all one thing, is racism. You know, and that, when I say racism, I mean all of it. Gender, you know, misogyny or gender bias, you know, straight racism, you know, you have a different color skin, so you're not as good or whatever. You know, hatred of the gay community or transgenders or any of that. It's stupid. It is honestly baloney. It's stupid. People are all the same. You know, it doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter what your sexual orientation is. It doesn't matter. The only reason it matters is because somebody at some point in history decided that it wasn't good. And a lot of people bought into that. They didn't think for themselves. They just bought into that. And so now we have a cause, don't we? We can hate all the gays, or we can hate all the blacks, or all the browns, or the whites, or whatever, or men or women. You know, it's like, you have too much time on your hands if that's what your thinking is. You need to be productive and do something worth doing. Something that's good and wholesome and upbuilding and is a part of the solution rather than the problem. That's what we need to be doing. And that's the thing. We have that capacity. And that's what this principle of belief, number 9, talks about. When we discover the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism, and that implies no racism, no gender hatred, none of that, no sexual hatred or anything like that. When we do that, it will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. You know, we need the truth, and we want to focus on that truth, and we want to grow and evolve, because that's who we are as people, and that's our capacity.
I think all grandmothers should run the world.
Yeah, probably so.
You know, sorry to break this up a little bit, but I've been kind of excited while you're talking. I drew a card, you know, from our inner oracle deck, and it's freedom in the wild card suit. So
wow.
I just felt like it was so appropriate to what you're talking, and I'd like to read it here quickly.
Please do.
Freedom is a state of being. It's an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right. And I think it's a critical point. A lot of people, we harp on this all the time on this program, but the do no harm, do right. I'm all for letting people have their own beliefs. When I stop the boat is when their words are harmful, when their words or their beliefs impose onto others that's destructive, because it's not doing the right thing, but they're not thinking of the right thing. So the more we say that, it's kind of like, you know, the whole pay it forward craze. We really do need to have do the right thing phase, except some people have the idea that the right thing is. But if you put the do no harm, do right together, it takes on its own consciousness. And in that little bubble in there is the freedom of mind. And it really does free you up from worry of control, the worry about being good enough. You know?
Yeah.
It's like I get to look at other people. I recently came across something a relative had posted online that set me back in my chair about 20 feet. It really did exemplify why I have little or nothing to do with my blood family. And it was one of those very right-wing, racist, prejudicial posts of why everybody has to assimilate, keep the immigrants out, and the blah, blah, blah. And I mean, it took my breath away, and I said, that's what it is. It's so harmful. They're not realizing how harmful those words are.
Yeah.
It's you can have that inner thought and that inner belief, but you got to check in with yourself somewhere. And I'll tell you, he's old, so, you know, won't be long before he's up on the other side too. Mm-hmm. And I truly do believe, man, the day you die, you're going to have your eyes open.
Yep.
And not that it does us any good down here, but as for your soul's evolution, wherever that is, it's just so wrong on so many levels. But it made me really check in with And I'm going to say this out loud. As I was one of, I think I was kind of born awake, but in a cesspool of all these people. And when I broke away from them, I turned it around in my mind to realize I was a bright light brought to an otherwise dark place. They didn't like that. Now, you could say, oh, Vicky thinks she's right. Who does she think she is? Well, I'm a bit of a socialist. I believe everybody should have food and shelter.
Yep.
I don't think you should be off killing people. I have a whole list of what I think is right in line with do no harm, do right. And they don't like to be antagonized. So the best thing for us is to just not be together. The problem is, here's the problem, is unless we stand up to that, it's a contaminant. And the only way, you can't argue with that kind of thinking that believes those things, but you can say, do no harm. Just do no harm and do the right thing. You know, it's do no harm. And they kind of look at you like, oh, because you're doing harm. You're imposing your will on another human being when you don't have what that human being has. And if you don't know it, you can't understand it, and you have no right to speak about it, period. So it is very shocking, and this is what to separate from the pack. This is part of my point here, is that for all of us who are awakening and still expanding our consciousness and walking that really fine line in the cesspools, it's stay true to who you are, because you're not alone. It just takes a real deep will of spirit and just keep being that bright light. That's the only way evolution and our consciousness can grow.
I'm glad you brought up that point on, you know, basically sticking up for truth, if I were to paraphrase it. There was a post on Facebook that makes a lot of sense, and I wanted to, it's about public relations strategy, PR strategy. And the admonition from this post is, your outrage is their growth strategy. When you, quote, hate share something egregious, you're actually helping the creator extend their reach. Seeding and stoking outrage is a deliberate PR strategy. For people who style themselves as contrarian, outspoken, or outrageous, the more controversy, the better. Eventually, a journalist at a mainstream publication will pick up the story, and then that obnoxious clickbaiter gets a breakthrough. They get more clicks, more attention, more money. So take your attention away from them. Don't share them. Don't even critique them. Only put your attention on things you want to grow. And the last line was, remember, your outrage is their growth strategy. Don't let your attention be appropriated to feed a cause you don't believe in. Now, that makes some sense with caveats, you know, and this is another point that I wanted to add to tonight's discussion, because, you know, I've thought about this weekly radio program, thought about the way we approach things. Our goal has always been to empower people, to build people up, to encourage people. And there have been a time or two, even tonight, you know, when I've brought up things, specifically religion and things and what the things are not doing right. But I don't dwell on it. I don't hammer on it continuously. I try to bring out the positive. Here's what we should be doing, and focus on the positive. So there's kind of two ways of looking at it. It's like a double-edged coin, you know, I guess all coins are double-edged, two-sided. Yes, on the one hand, sometimes people will say things, they'll post things. We don't have to react. We don't have to necessarily correct them. But there are times when we do need to stand up and present the other side. And it's an art form to know when and when not to. In other words, pick your battles, right? So here's the thing about human nature, though, and this is kind of ties in with consciousness a little bit. You know, ICMH Church could be a really a lot bigger than it is. you know, I mean, we've been around 8 years now, and I thought it would have been bigger than it is. And it is fine. I mean, we've got, I don't know, around 1,000 students in over 60 countries, you know, students and graduates. And not everybody does, you know, they get away from it and all that. But the point is that I could be a lot bigger. We could be a lot bigger if we were controversial. If this radio program just, you know, knocked people or knocked, even justly so, if we just dwelt on outrageous things and getting back at the less aware people, the less evolved people. And, you know, that's almost been I don't even know how to put it. It's been something that I've known about because it's human nature. People, that's why they have newspapers. That's why they have the news. That's why you can turn on the TV and, you know, you don't get shows about puppies and all that as a rule. They're all murder mysteries and, you know, somebody trying to take over the world, that kind of stuff. You know, that's what sells. And controversy sells. You know, I mean, controversy sells. All we have to do is look at the American president to know that controversy sells. You know, I mean, come on, really? I mean, jeepers. And I could do that, but I can't do that. And as a result, we won't grow as big as we could potentially grow because I'm not going to dwell on all that stuff. Now, occasionally I will bring out things. But isn't that an interesting aspect of human nature, of consciousness, that we need to try to evolve past too? We need to look more toward the good, the clean, the pure, the powerful, and the positive, as Zig Ziglar once said. We need to focus on that good stuff and pick our battles when it comes to bringing out things, because some people just throw stuff out there. We call them trolls. They post stuff that just to get a rise out of somebody. So I just wanted to offer that. Any concluding thoughts on any of these topics? Michael, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Nothing like that right now. I think that was very well said.
Great. And Dr. Hunter?
I think the only thing that I might like to add is people will do whatever they can as long as they can get away with it.
Yeah,
they do it because they can.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's no consequence, and I think that's where you have to, you know, kind of, you know, you say preference and principle.
Yeah.
Because as long as there is no consequence, people will continue to behave badly. And as long as silence gives permission. So that's just something, yeah, it's not that we want to feed the antagonism, but we want to be able to stand up to it and say,
yes,
no, you can't do that. There's a bit of a movement I've been watching in the last few weeks that people have been posting online. You know, when people go into racist rants in the store or things. Anyway, they're being videotaped. I mean, you can't even go outside your house anymore without a camera being on. But they're being videotaped, and people are hunting them down, finding out their name, and exposing them.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I feel badly for people being almost permanently maimed by this, it's the only way that little bit of fear that I could be exposed and my career could be ruined, that's going to stop people from acting out badly.
And well, yeah. People have lost their jobs over that stuff.
Yeah. It's a consequence. And I have my issues with, you know, I can't even take an art class without somebody taking a video, and then I find it online. I say, what? I never gave permission, you know. But there is some really good things that I think are coming out of this, and that exposure, that it's consequential. And that's a good thing, in my view.
Mm-hmm.
And moving along, you know, we all got to give people wanting cards, I believe, or pulling cards. Fran pulled a card for the group tonight, number 21, which interestingly enough, I have my little booklet opened, and it's right there in front of me, Fran. Insight Wisdom, number 21. So I'll read that for everybody to get us started. Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment and seeing the underlying truth. This may be a time to look deep into your inner character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a present situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding as well as to discover potential solutions. And that's what we are. We're a solution-based kind of people.
Yeah.
So keeping that in mind. Michael, who have we got up first, do you think?
Well, I know we read... Yes, we do have Tad first.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do you want to pull a card for Tad?
I'd be happy to. I actually took the liberty of pulling number 17, Reinvention.
Awesome.
Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such personal reinvention shifts the focus of your self-concept from external to internal, which in turn is vital for your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day, and what else in my life should be reinvented?
Good one. That was very apropos.
Mm-hmm.
And very, and it's relevant for all of us. That's what we should be doing every day, reinventing ourselves a little bit, getting better and better every day in every way.
Well, you like the next one for Gayla is deliberate intent. So this one's for you. I think we can all relate to it, Gayla, but number 20. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is that you desire. It's not magic. It requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience. Well, it seems like there's a stirring of recreation going on there, Gayla. So interesting. Good one. Fran is next, Michael.
All right. Fran, I've pulled number 41, communication.
Haven't pulled that one in a while, have we?
Seems like it has been a bit. The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting on one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship, and this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathetic, and focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits.
You know, it's interesting, you know, since we're kind of early in the card pulling here, just make a mental note of how each one of these cards ties in to things we've discussed tonight previously. Good point.
Yeah, it is interesting. I think Jeff is up next. Now, Jeff did pull a card for the group, and that's number 10. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I believe Ronaldo was next.
Oh, sorry. Then you go ahead, because I already picked one for Jeff, and I don't want to get the energy all mixed up here.
All right.
So you go ahead with Ronaldo. Sorry.
Ronaldo, I picked number 29, pay it forward. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way you can pay it forward right now?
Good one.
Good one. You know, sorry, Rinaldo. It's just sometimes I'm multitasking here, looking at the screen, the cards, and the headset and stuff, and it's I apologize for that. As I was saying, Dr. Jeff pulled the indomitable power of the human spirit for all of us. We're familiar mm-hmm. with that one. That's a really good card for tonight, Jeff. Thanks. For you, I pulled reinvention. So that's number 17 in the deck. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which in turn is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they're healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day, and what else in my life should be reinvented?
Yes, the second time we pulled that card tonight.
It is so. I had to read it twice because everybody we've been talking about consciousness and changing and making it, and I just thought it was so appropriate. Yes, that's for you, Jeff, but it's another affirmation, another reinforcement of our discussion and putting those vibes out there in the universe.
It is. It's fascinating because both of you pulled that card at random. And it's just, and this is collective consciousness at its best. All right, who's next?
Who do we have next there, Michael?
I believe we have Taz next.
And do you want to pick one for Taz? There we go.
Absolutely. I've actually pulled number 38, open-mindedness. Okay, I'll reference the good book. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions.
So it goes right along with everything, too. I mean, because in order to grow, we have to be open-minded. You know, we just don't want to be so open-minded our brains fall out. We want to be still keep our feet on the ground, as we talked about last week, head on our shoulders, reasonable and down to earth. But we still want to have that open mind for all the incredible possibilities that must necessarily exist in this universe.
I have Melissa next, and I pulled number 40, relationships, for you, Melissa. Healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They're not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who they are and not for what they believe. Don't be judgmental. It's hard, isn't it? Otherwise, end the relationship regardless of who it's with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card can refer to a healthy or toxic relationship or to the relationship of one thing to another. You know, for you, Melissa, there might be something going on in your life right now that you can relate to in that. I was just thinking for myself with my uncle and posting that. It's really hard not to be judgmental. And, you know, for the entire conversation that we've been having, it's to put away our judgment, but just file the information and just know, again, preference versus principle. You know, so it was a good one.
Yeah, and if you have a judgment you're thinking about, or somebody's doing something that just they shouldn't be, do what Dr. Hunter does. Just say, you know, that's going in my report, and then move on.
It's now on a little drive. It was too big. I was so glad for computers and thumb drives. You know, it's like, oh, I can take that home with me. There we go. Okay, who do we have next, Michael? Sherry, I believe.
I think you're right. And I've pulled number 16, continuity of life.
That's a good one.
It is. Have we pulled that one recently?
Not terribly recently, I don't think.
I don't think so, but it definitely ties into what we're talking about tonight.
Yeah.
Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with continuity and the flow of day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter can begin.
Good. I mean, that's that fits right in with what we were talking about too, you know, and I don't want to dwell on it, but that's also been on the top of my mind in recent, you know, recent events and so forth. And, you know, and everybody, I want to say this too. I appreciate everybody's, sincerity and their, what do I want to call it? Their, well wishes or condolences. That's the word I'm trying to use. Condolences for the loss of my cat, little one. But you know, everybody's lost family members, and that's what they are. You know, Dr. Hunter has certainly experienced that more than I have. I don't know how she's held in there. It changes you, folks, and you know that if you've lost anything. But continuity of life gives us hope, and it's not just. I mean, it certainly gives us hope for death in terms of death, but it's also that continuity of life that if your situation right now is not what you want, it will change. Just keep growing. Make better decisions. Get your data. You know, do your research. You know, protect your boundaries. Improve your self-esteem. Take your power back. If you take your power back, your whole life will improve in all aspects. So let's go on to the next card.
Well, I have Dr. Angie. Nice to see you here, Dr. Angie. I have 37, groundedness. Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, opinions, and weigh them against the facts. We've been talking about this, right? Suspend judgment until you've considered all the facts or have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when new facts are found. You know, and it's just a good reminder for all of us in how to stay grounded in our thinking, but staying open-minded enough to, as we've been talking about, receive new information and be the first one to say to yourself, oh, well, I was wrong. It happens. I've probably the hardest thing for pride and ego, for me anyway, was when, especially when I'm younger and I'm clawing my way through life, you know, taking everything so seriously, and it being wrong. And then one day I just said, who cares?
Yeah.
Wrong is good. If I was wrong, it means I've grown, and growing is better. So this is the one thing that comes to mind in associating this to share with everybody. Don't become like the people you don't like.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
That's what I want to affirm in there. All right, who do we have next, Michael? I kind of lost track here. The feed's going pretty good. They got conversations going on.
There is. I think we got everybody. Taking one last look through. And, yeah, I believe Dr. Angie was the last person that asked for a card. So if we missed anybody, try throwing it in real quick, and we can try grabbing you. Otherwise.
Yeah, if you didn't get your card pulled, then please put your name in immediately, and we'll I wanted to see if we got everybody.
Well, I think Dr. Cecilia pulled
I
have card 15 for the group, please? And that's a really good one to, you know, kind of begin to wrap up our evening with, and thanks for that, Dr. Cecilia. It's number 15, belief system knowledge base. We each operate life from an existing belief system, and sometimes the solution or direction lies outside our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Again, more of those affirmations, right? Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within. You know, and when we say the knowledge we seek is within, it's because we're born with it. We just have to remember it. I really believe that, everybody. You know, we're a spirit come to a body to have a human experience. We're learning how to become better human beings. We just have to remember our spirituality. And all the information is there. We beamed onto the planet with that. Absolutely.
Which card was that?
15, belief system, knowledge base.
All right. Very good. So it looks like we've gotten everyone, and we've had what I think was an interesting discussion again tonight, and at least some stuff to make you think. And that's what we want to do, get you thinking. That's what the point of these inner oracle cards are for, is to get you thinking. It's the point of the whole program. It's all education-based. And little by little, we all grow from this. I mean, we grow as well. Yes, music. And, I mean, we grow from doing this program. All of us do, in our own ways. And repetition is important, too. And because that helps us to be reminded of things. Some of the stuff we've heard it more than once, perhaps, but maybe it's been a while. I mean, that happens with me. And I mean, I hear something, I think, oh yeah, you know, it's something I need to have at the top of the mind awareness, right? I mean, I needed to hear it again, and needed to repetition because I need to work on that. And so that's great. So keep these things in mind, continue to grow every day. Be better tomorrow than you were yesterday. Make better choices. Take your power back. Accept people. And just leave the world better than you found it. There's a lot there. So anyway, we appreciate everybody's input tonight. We appreciate your participation. We're pleased that you joined us. We look forward to seeing you again next week. So thanks to everybody. And those listening to the archives as well. Thanks to Dr. Hunter. Thanks to Michael as well. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.